This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Friday, February 17th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O @sportstalknetwork.com. Unfortunately, have to start with a very sad note. In the world of baseball, you've probably all heard by now, Hall of Famer Gary Carter passed away yesterday at the too young age of 57. If you followed Carter's story for the last year, 9 or 10 months ago, he had tumors in his brain. He has brain cancer. He aggressively fought them. Looked like things were very bad for a while. Then he made a great comeback. The tumors were shrunk, and he seemed to be okay. But in the last few weeks, apparently he went the other way. And yesterday, again, at the age of only 57, Gary Carter dies from brain cancer. Very touching, obviously a beloved guy in Montreal and in New York, where he was one of the key leaders in that 1986 World Championship for the Mets. But Carter, nicknamed the kid, always a smile on his face, always positive. It's interesting to hear the Mets from that time, Ron Darling, Wally Backman, Gooden, and Strawberry. I mean, the talent was amazing on those teams, but everybody to a man said Carter was the guy. You're down 5 runs, we can still win. He was the uplifting guy in the clubhouse. Made it to the Hall of Fame in 2003, has some very good numbers, but I think his ability to play baseball and lead a team went beyond his numbers. And again, a lot of people point to 1986. I heard an interview with Doc Gooden. You know, Doc Gooden came on the scene in 1984, was 17-9 as a rookie for the Mets. Carter came over in 1985 after having a very good year in Montreal. In fact, a very good decade in Montreal. To me, he was kind of lost in the shuffle up in Montreal. You just didn't get a lot of pub when you were in Montreal. But Carter came to the Mets in 85, Gooden's second year, and Gooden, as recently as yesterday, gave Gary Carter a lot of credit for Gooden's unbelievable 1985 season when he won the Triple Crown of pitching, going 24-4 with a 1.53 ERA and 268 strikeouts. What that Met team needed, as much as the clutch hitting that Gary Carter provided at times, was obviously a veteran catcher to catch that young staff, Gooden being the star of that staff, of course. But he, Carter, was the guy who, along with Keith Hernandez, I think, who were really the two guys who were the glue of that team. Strawberry was awesome. Backman and Dykstra were kind of the place setters, if you will, the table setters. And, of course, you had guys like Doc Gooden, who was just an unbelievable talent. Gary Carter, dead at 57. You know, you can look at his career numbers, and some people say they're not that great. But again, he got into the Hall of Fame in 2003 in his sixth year of eligibility. But 324 homers for a catcher. He did play 19 seasons. But frankly, his first and his last four were all abbreviated seasons. So he was better than that. In fact, when he came to the Mets that first year, 32 home runs, 100 RBIs. The World Championship year, 24 home runs, 105 RBIs. Of course, he's legendary for that leadoff single in the bottom of the 10th in Game 6 against the Red Sox, where he came up with two outs, and the quote from the dugout was, "I'm not going to make the last out of the World Series." Carter singled to left, and that eventually led to the Mookie Wilson grounder between Bill Buckner's legs, which, of course, led to the victory, which led to the Game 7, which led to the Mets winning the World Series. But a lot of people pointed to that at-bat, among others, as being the key to the World Series. But Carter, again, always a guy with a smile on his face, an 11-time All-Star. He was actually the MVP of the All-Star game on two different occasions. Just watching film of him yesterday, you remember his short, compact swing, although powerful. A guy who could hit a breaking ball, unlike a lot of players, even up to this day, never mind back then. But he was the guy who was the final glue, and the guy who did catch that pitching staff for most of the year in 1986, played 132 games. during the regular season. So Gary Carter, the kid, dead at 57, will be sorely missed. Always a happy guy. On his family's website, his daughter put up a stirring, I won't even call it a eulogy, just kind of a statement to his fans, you know, that he was in heaven with his parents, etc. But it was a very touching statement. The thing I didn't know about Carter that I found fascinating, and this just kind of explains even more the way the guy was, when he was drafted, obviously as a very young player at the age of 20, by the Montreal Expos, Gary Carter went out and learned French, which of course endeared him to all the French Canadians up there. In Montreal, of which, as you know, there are many. See the Montreal Canadiens hockey team. But Gary Carter did that kind of stuff. He did a lot of off-the-field work, and he really was the guy. At his Hall of Fame conversation, or actually when he retired, I should say, in 1992, he gave an emotional speech, and the words I remember, which they played again yesterday at the end, was, quote, "I will never say goodbye to baseball," close quote. His body obviously broke down. As a catcher for all those years, you know, I think there's a new view of catchers now that you don't try and catch them 140, 150, 160 games a year. That's not how it was when Gary Carter played. And so it's amazing he lasted 19 years, injury prone the last four, but he was a world champion. He is a Hall of Famer forever. And certainly will be missed. A wonderful guy, again, did a lot of charity work off the field, was beloved by his teammates, was beloved by the fans in Montreal, and, of course, the New York fans. Gary Carter, dead at the age of 57 from brain cancer, and he really will be sorely missed. You hear that a lot, but this is really true in Gary Carter's case. Want to switch now to, frankly, a happier subject. The Linsanity continues tonight at the Garden. The Knicks play the lowly Hornets, and it would be a big upset if they got beat by the Hornets at MSG. I hope they don't look forward to the Dallas game or overlook the Hornets because they're playing the Mavericks on national TV on Sunday. But a lot's happening with the Knicks in addition to just what they've done the last seven games. J.R. Smith, who is a very good offensive basketball player, sometimes a little wacky, but a very good player. He announced today on his Twitter account that he's going to sign with the New York Knicks. They might even have him in uniform on Sunday. Carmelo Anthony not expected to play tonight for the Knicks, so he may be back on Sunday. So the Knicks are just drawing these good players. J.R. Smith, again, if healthy and with his head screwed on right, he's a very good offensive player. And this is just going to give Jeremy Lin more options, frankly. I think a few of these guys are going to get nudged out of the lineup and nudged out of playing time. Bill Walker, of course, goes to the bench when Carmelo starts, and some guys are going to lose some minutes. But again, the Jeremy Lin phenomenon continues. I wrote an article a couple of days ago that you saw online about the fact that Lin should be an all-star, and they should have put him in the real all-star game, not the rookies and sophomores game, which is now the Rising Stars Challenge because they're picking up sides, Team Shaq and Team Barkley, which is fine. But David Stern originally said that there was no way that Lin was going to play in the, for lack of a better term, real all-star game, or even when he was asked about the Rising Stars game, he said he wasn't going to play in that either. And, of course, I wrote on Wednesday that, you know, this guy, I didn't even know, I don't know if he had been asked the question by Wednesday, but at that time, I thought it was a rather new or fresh idea that he should definitely be on the All-Star team. And, in fact, they should put him in the big All-Star game. And here's now what you have. Someone with a brain must have got to David Stern because it was announced yesterday that he is going to be in the game, again, the rookie-sophomore game, where they now chose up sides, and he's going to play with Blake Griffin, which could be really interesting. But you now have the bizarre occurrence of the TV ratings for that game that Jeremy Lin and Blake Griffin are both playing in might very well be higher than the TV rating for the actual All-Star game. I don't know if you want to call it the grown-up game. I wrote an article that'll be up on online soon. I wrote an article that just says, you just made the JV game more important than the varsity game. People are really going to want to watch Lin and Blake play together, but that's only on the JV game. That's not on the big game. You can make a case that the TV ratings for the JV game are going to be bigger than the TV ratings for the actual All-Star game. Now, look, the bottom line, and the reason I wrote a few days ago that Lynch should be on the All-Star team is because you have a lot of people saying, oh, seven games, not a big enough sample, flash in the pan, whatever. I think all of that's ridiculous because at the end of the day, it's just an entertainment thing. The All-Star game doesn't mean anything. Nobody really cares about the NBA All-Star game. Nobody defends. What you want is the popular guys, the guys that are changing the world. And here's a guy, David Stern, who has talked about the international aspect of the NBA for the last, what, 10 years? Here's his best chance outside of a Yao Ming showing. Here's his best chance to make some international noise immediately. And what does he do? First, he says he can't play in either game. Now he must, again, either someone with a brain spoke to him or he's buckling under the pressure that's coming from the common fan, because how can you not have this guy in the All-Star game? And I'll say it again. You might as well put him in the real All-Star game, because he just killed the TV ratings for the real All-Star game by putting him in the Rising Stars game. I think that's what it's called now. I'm not even sure why they have that game. Maybe they have to fill up space, but at the end of the day, Jeremy Lin will be at the All-Star game. He should have been on the Eastern Conference squad, in my opinion, in the varsity All-Star game, for lack of a better word. They did put him on the team in the JV All-Star game, and he will be playing with Blake Griffin. So Blake Griffin's in both games. So who do you think most basketball fans, and more importantly, most non-basketball fans, who do you think, what game do you think they're going to want to watch? Well, again, you know the answer to that. In addition, in that article, Cedric Maxwell, the former Celtic, had some, I don't know if I'd call him derogatory, but gave it the old, oh, it's only seven games, you don't really know, you have to wait and see. And generally speaking, that's true. But this isn't a guy coming up and hitting 10 fastballs for home runs, and then they learn how to pitch to him. This is a guy who commands and demands the basketball, and he runs the show. Everyone's got to react to him, not the other way around. Now, the Lakers tried to beat him up. The scouting report the other day was an article in the Daily News by the New York Daily News by Mitch Lawrence that said the scouting report, I think it was from Sacramento, said he's all right, meaning he can only go right, and you can essentially, it said, you can beat him up. But those two things are both 100% false. Please read that article later today when it goes up online. But those two things are 100% false. The Lakers killed him. He scored 38. Everybody's getting physical with him. It doesn't matter. And will he break down or get weaker over time? Well, maybe. But barring a major injury, this kid's going to be a 10-year point guard in the NBA. Doesn't go left. That's the funniest thing I've ever heard. Go watch some tape. Don't listen. If you hear someone say Jeremy Lin can't go left, that guy either doesn't know what he's talking about or hasn't been watching. Just watch some film. Go watch the John Wall video where he killed John Wall in the Summer League game in 2009. That's like 2.5 years ago. Go look at that. The first two moves on the video where he goes left, he blows by John Wall. How about the thunderous dunk against Washington a few games ago? The first move is to the left. Then he crosses over once he's clear to make a power dunk right-handed, of course. I say in the article, all right-handed guards have to work on going left. All left-handed guards have to work on going right. That's a newsflash. But the notion that that's a weakness in his game, that he can't do it, that's preposterous. How about that spin move that went around the world when he made it on Derek Fisher in the Laker game? He starts right, but what does he do? He spins to the left and lays it in. Ridiculous. So you can have your own independent thought. Don't rely on these people who either don't know or don't even take the time to watch to draw conclusions because they have to say something negative about the kid. The only thing that he's always going to be able to play to run the pick and roll. He's better than most NBA point guards at that already. He's always going to be quick, at least for the next 5-10 years, barring major injury. He's very quick. He's NBA quick. He's blow-by guys quick. Just watch him. He's got a basketball IQ off the charts. That's not going to change. And he's very, very tough. Again, a few teams have already tried to put a beating on him. He's not going to back down. We talked about the play in the Laker game where everybody was going the other way and Kobe underneath the basket just gave him a shove and Lin shoved him back. No big deal. Didn't look for a foul call, just shoved him back. That tells you a lot about a kid. None of those things are going to change. What may change is he may not be as good a shooter as he appears to be, because he's been hitting everything in these games. He's not a great foul shooter. I think he's around 70%. That's not great for a point guard. And the book on him was he wasn't a very good shooter when he came into the league. Well, he's been making shots left and right. That might change. But his ability to distribute the ball, his ability to see the court, his ability to run the pick and roll, his toughness, his quickness, none of that's going to change. So no matter, I'll say it again, I don't care who says it. Cedric Maxwell, I don't care who says it. Watch the kid play. And I'll say it again. If a guy says to you he's no good to his left, like apparently the Sacramento Kings scouting report said, you just laugh at whoever says that. Just go to the video. Just watch the film. And again, compare him to others, because I'll say it again, all right-handed point guards have to work on their left. All left-handed point guards have to work on their right. This kid is legit. And I say it, the notion that he's a flash in the pan is, to me, ridiculous. Of course, we have to wait and see. But after one game, it's let's wait two, let's wait three, let's wait four. Some people say he hasn't played against premier point guards yet. Well, that's ridiculous. How's John Wall? Is he any good? Tyreke Evans? Crafty veteran like Derek Fisher? You know he's going to kill Fisher. Fisher just, you know, he can't stay with these guys. Darren Williams? It'll be interesting next week. I think after the Mavericks game, I think they play the Nets. And I think Lynn surprised Darren Williams, killed him in that net game. But the point of it is, he doesn't have to be better than these guys. If he shows up and he's in the mix with these guys, and he 100% is in the mix with these guys, he's been better than all of them so far. But take a little away from his game, and he's right there with all these guys. What does that make him? Well, to me, it makes him a 10-year NBA point guard and a better-than-average NBA point guard. So keep an eye out for Jeremy Lin on All-Star Weekend. You won't see him at the varsity All-Star Game, but you will see him at the JV All-Star Game. I think that's a mistake, but as I wrote today, that's better than nothing. You'd rather have him in there somewhere than not have him in there at all. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Think Fish with Frank Reese on Blue Zoo Radio, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. exclusively on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
These days, you hear them everywhere. Get out of debt quick promises asking you to call right now to solve all your credit problems. But please, listen carefully. Don't make a huge mistake. There is a better way. Trinity Debt Management. Many debt settlement companies have created a dangerous misunderstanding. Simply put, debt settlement often ends up destroying your credit and ultimately may lead to asset seizure and bankruptcy. There is a better way out. Trinity Debt Management can show you how to pay off your debt, preserve your good name, save thousands in interest, and in the end, actually improve your credit rating, not destroy it. Say no to debt settlement. Say yes to debt management. Trinity Debt Management. Make the right choice and become debt-free for keeps. Call 1-800-780-0646. That's 1-800-780-0646.
SportsTalkNetwork.com is now mobile. Watch or listen to your favorite Sports Talk Network program live or on demand with the new STN web app. The STN web app works on all smartphones, including iPhones, Android, and BlackBerry. Go to m.sportstalknetwork.com on your phone's web browser and bookmark the app. No downloads and no fees. Fresh audio, video shows, sports news, and more content delivered to your phone whenever you want. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. And now on your phone.
Hikari, established in 1877 with more than 130 years of experience, is the world's foremost authority on aquatic nutrition. We know what it takes to offer you and your aquatic pets nutrition that can help them look their best and live a long and healthy life. If you're looking for the best aquatic diets for your hard-earned dollar, look no further than Hikari, the aquatic nutrition leader worldwide. For further information, visit HikariUSA.com and our direct link at BlueZooRadio.com.
You're listening to the SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you can stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-246-0508 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-246-0508 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-246-0508 to get your car protected today. Call 877-246-0508. That's 1-877-246-0508. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-246-0508. That's 877-246-0508.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Another baseball note just came over the wire. Expected at 5 o'clock today down in Florida. Tim Wakefield of the Red Sox expected to announce his retirement. Now, Wakefield certainly struggled the last couple of years, but he was with the Boston Red Sox since 1995, give that a little thought. One of the few guys on both Red Sox championship teams, pitched 17 years for the Boston Red Sox, even was a starter for 2 years before that with the Pittsburgh Pirates going back to 1992 and 1993. So Wakefield, of course, eventually became a knuckleballer. I wonder if the fact that he finally got his 200th win, career win, with Boston last year had something to do with this decision. He winds up 200-180 with a not very good 4.41 ERA. But again, when he had his knuckleball dancing, he was hard to hit. But there were a lot of days when he didn't have that knuckleball dancing. Last year, 7-8 with a 5.12 ERA. I guess the key for a guy like Wakefield was the fact that he really was an innings eater for the Red Sox. You know, it's so hard nowadays. When you think about the beginning of the year, your pitching staff has to get 162 times 9 innings. And you know hardly anybody pitches complete games anymore. You know, once upon a time with four starters who would throw 40 games apiece and they would complete, it was not unusual to complete 20, 25, 30 of them. The whole innings things wasn't a big deal because you had guys who would routinely pitch 250, 300 innings, more than 300 innings. Nowadays, though, of course, it's a very difficult thing. And I think part of Wakefield's ability for the Red Sox that was appreciated was the fact that he could throw 180, 190, 200 innings, 225 innings in 2005 when he was 16 and 12. So Tim Wakefield expected to announce his retirement. Presumably he went to spring training, didn't really think he could do it anymore. I personally think it was important to him that he got his 200th win last year. He wound up 186 and 168 with the Red Sox over 17 years. Of course, was a member of both of those World Series, break the forever curse of the Bambino that the Red Sox finally broke. But Tim Wakefield expected at 5 o'clock today to announce his retirement at Boston Red Sox spring training. A few other NBA notes. We'll get to the NBA games yesterday, but I just wanted to follow up. Don't want to keep this all about Jeremy Lin. The participants in the dunk contest were announced, and, you know, I don't want to spend a lot of time. I think Lin is obviously the biggest story in the NBA, and Blake Griffin is the guy you would want to watch the most. So I thought that was important because, again, they're playing in the JV game. Griffin's playing in both. But Lin's playing in the JV game. It makes no sense. The dunk contest this year will be Derek Williams of Minnesota, Paul George of Indiana, Chase Budinger of Houston, and Iman Shumpert of the New York Knicks. Now, you know, once upon a time, the dunk contest got the guys who could dunk, but that just doesn't happen anymore. You know, they got Blake Griffin last year, but no Blake Griffin this year. The days of Dr. J are gone. You usually have up-and-coming guys who are looking to make their name. So those are the four that you have for the dunk contest this year. Again, the NBA All-Star Weekend, although they try and build it into an extravaganza, is really, you know, frankly, much ado about nothing. But I think it is a big deal that Jeremy Lin got in there, and I think, I'll say it again, I think more people are going to watch Jeremy Lin play with Blake Griffin than are going to watch Blake Griffin play in the other All-Star game. Other interesting comments in basketball, and this just struck me as bizarre. I'll have to take a look at what the reaction is in Cleveland. But LeBron James was interviewed and apparently was asked about would he go back to Cleveland. And, you know, he said, I quote, I don't rule that out, close quote. You know, just bizarre. He said, I can't predict the future. Cavaliers are 30-79 since LeBron left. I think I've told you I was out in Ohio the day of the decision, just, you know, by coincidence, and saw people who were crying and devastated and angry. I saw the reactions firsthand the night that LeBron said he was taking his talents to South Beach. I don't know. I guess you'd have to welcome the guy back if you're from Cleveland, but that was a bizarre thing to say. The Heat are going to be in the mix for a title. Obviously, they got beat in the finals last year. You got to wonder if LeBron's trying to make amends because he still is one of the most hated players in sports. I think he's like fifth or sixth in that poll that they take. But I think it wasn't just people in Cleveland or people in Ohio. Certainly, we discussed it at the time. The notion that people got in the room and said LeBron should do a TV show called The Decision to announce this, and Jim Gray was involved somehow, I mean, it was a beyond a stupid decision. And LeBron eventually said at least that he was sorry for the way he went about it. I don't think you can really say he shouldn't have gone. You would like to see him stay with the Cavaliers. He had obviously lifted them to great heights, but not to the championship. And he really was oftentimes, it seemed, playing virtually alone. He didn't have a whole lot of help there. But, you know, maybe he's looking and he sees Kyrie Irving there now. Who knows? But it was just a bizarre conversation to me near the All-Star break of his second year in Miami. He did say, oh, I'm happy playing with the Heat. I'm happy here, blah, blah, blah. But it is interesting that this whole kind of thing would even come into play at this point of his contract. I think all three of them signed three-year deals, or they all have opt-outs after 3 years, just in case it didn't work. But certainly, it's working so far. I mean, they're the overwhelming favorites now. With Derrick Rose's back the way it is, they're the overwhelming favorites to get out of the East. The East is just not very good. I mean, you can make a case that the Knicks can play and beat anybody in the East, I think, with Jeremy Lin at the point, except for the Miami Heat. Although the Knicks do have a game coming up with the Heat, that'll be very interesting. I think the end of next week. I think it's right before the All-Star break, the Knicks play the Heat. So that'll be interesting. But just, for lack of a better word, the bizarre LeBron conversations continue. And again, maybe he's trying to mend some fences in Ohio, in Cleveland, in Akron, where he lives. I don't know. But the thought that he might leave Miami and go back to the Cleveland Cavaliers, and again, I don't think the earliest that can happen is not the end of this year, but the end of next year. And by then, I think the Miami Heat are going to have at least one championship. I think this is their year, frankly. We'll just have to wait and see. But again, you probably, if you haven't seen the highlights, you can certainly get snippets on the internet or probably on SportsCenter or whatever. Just a bizarre conversation coming in the middle of a lot of other things. I don't know if it was given as much play, but it will be given a lot of play in the next few days or so. One other baseball note, you probably know the Yankees are trying to get rid of A.J. Burnett, who's been except for literally one or two games, maybe two big playoff games, one in the World Series, one in the playoffs last year, has been pretty much a bust. I mean, it's hard to go 10-15 with the Yankees, but A.J. Burnett did that. He apparently invoked his no-trade clause on a proposed trade to the Angels, where the Yankees were going to get back former Yankee Bobby Abreu. But apparently, he has a list of teams that he can veto because his wife doesn't like to fly. They live in Maryland, obviously playing in New York, not a bad deal. It looks like he's going to go to Pittsburgh. It does not look like he's going to be with the Yankees. Again, he's been overall a big disappointment as a Yankee. And, you know, people in New York are killing him, saying, oh, he won't go to the Angels where they have a chance to win. He will go to Pittsburgh where they have no chance to win. But I think this is more family-related than anything else. You know, A.J. Burnett, a very talented pitcher, but not a guy who throws 97 anymore. He's going to have to make that adjustment to not be a power pitcher anymore. Can he still pitch in the majors? Well, that's a real question to me. Because if you're a sub-500 pitcher with the New York Yankees, that's a problem. But if he does go to the Pirates, he will be in the National League. Obviously, he'll be facing weaker lineups, no DHs, the pitcher's bat. Generally speaking, those number 7, 8, 9 hitters are not like 7, 8, 9 hitters in the American League. Obviously, the National League lineups, by definition, because the pitcher is batting, are not as strong as American League lineups. The switch out of New York and to the National League might actually help A.J. Burnett. That is not a done deal. But I don't think he's going to be with the Yankees. He's not going to the Angels. He had the ability to veto that trade, and he did. Interesting that the Yankees would try and get back Bobby Abreu, because for a few years he was viewed to be a bad influence on guys like Robinson Cano, Melky Cabrera. That was the rumor when he left New York. But now maybe, obviously, Cano's a star. Melky's gone. Maybe the view is you need Abreu because he's still a very productive hitter and would obviously like that right field porch in Yankee Stadium. I want to switch to the NBA. A few games yesterday. The most interesting game by far. The Celtics go out to Chicago to play the Bulls. The Bulls have no Derrick Rose. Now, again, even though the Bulls have a great record, to me, they haven't shown they have that number two guy who can step up. But yesterday, without Derrick Rose, and maybe they'll prove me wrong in the playoffs, the Bulls beat the Celtics. The Bulls 89, the Celtics 80. They're up one after three quarters, but outscore the Celtics 29-21 in the fourth quarter to draw off to win by nine. Carlos Boozer, who is a key guy for them, obviously 23 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists. Again, no Derrick Rose. Lou Aldang, an all-star, 23 points, 10 assists. Joakim Noah, 15 points, 16 rebounds. C.J. Watson starting for Rose, 11 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Again, to me, that second guy hasn't stepped up. Now, it could be Boozer, it could be Dang, but it has to be consistent. Rose still has those back issues. To me, that takes Chicago, the view of Chicago as a championship team, down the notch. I only think there's one in the East, and that's Miami. The Celtics, I think, just too old again. Maybe they'll get healthy at the end of the year and make a run. But yesterday, they had everybody, and the Bulls didn't have the MVP. Garnett, 18 points, 10 rebounds. Rondo, 17 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. Probably the best player on the Celtics now. maybe last year he was the best player on the Celtics. Pierce, 14 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. Ray Allen, only 4 for 13 from the field, 12 points. Bulls, 89. Celtics, 80. The Bulls go up to 25-7. And the Celtics drop to 15-14. A couple of other games, not a lot of action in the NBA last night, but a couple of other games. The Clippers go up to Portland, where Portland's in the funk. They've lost 3 in a row. They don't have LaMarcus Aldridge, and he's a big part of what they do. So the Clippers go up to Portland and beat the Trail Blazers by the three-quarter score. That was actually a final score. Clippers 74, Trail Blazers 71. The Trail Blazers can only score 28 points in the second half, 11 in the fourth quarter. Again, they really miss LaMarcus Aldridge. For the Clippers, Griffin goes 21 points, 14 rebounds. Chris Paul goes 13.6 rebounds, only 3 assists. But the, again, you know, 74-71 game, nobody's going to score a whole lot. For Portland, off the bench, Jamal Crawford, an excellent sixth man, obviously. He scores 19 points with 3 assists. Batum also with 19 points and 6 rebounds for Portland. Matthews with 16 points and 5 rebounds, but it's not enough, as the Clippers get a nice road win on the Trailblazers. Trailblazers dropped to 16-15. I thought they'd be better than this. Again, they don't have their best player. And the Clippers go up to 19-9. I think the Clippers, if they can get it all together. Now, there was a thought that that J.R. Smith was going to sign with either the Clippers or the Knicks, but now apparently that's the Knicks. I believe he has the same agent as Carmelo Anthony, so maybe that had something to do with it. But the Clippers beat the Trailblazers 74-71. One other NBA game, only 3 in the NBA last night, quickly. The Nets go out to Indiana. Nets in a free fall go out to Indiana, lose to the Pacers 93-88. Indiana 17-12. Granger with 32 points and 5 rebounds. West with 16 points and 6 rebounds. Hibbert, their big man, 13 points, 11 rebounds. For New Jersey, what can they say? They're you know, Darren Williams is having an excellent year. He's an all-star, 29 points last night, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Even Chris Humphries chips in with 24 points and 10 rebounds. But the Nets lost Brook Lopez. They were going to try and trade for Dwight Howard. That hasn't happened. They're essentially a one-star player team. They dropped to 8-22. Frankly, they're not going anywhere. Their only hope, especially now with the Knicks, who are always in command in the New York, New Jersey area anyway, now dominating the New York, New Jersey area, their only hope is to make a trade for Dwight Howard and then to move to Brooklyn and see what happens. Indiana 93, the Nets 88. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7 online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
You want to put your nest egg somewhere where it will grow. Gold has given investors a 300% return over the last 10 years. You want an investment that's safe. Gold American Eagles are guaranteed by the U.S. government for weight and purity. You want to work with someone you can trust. Blanchard & Company was founded over 35 years ago. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You want an investment that's liquid in case you need your money fast. Well, Blanchard guarantees to buy back any gold you invest in with them at the current market rates anytime you want to sell. And you want someone you can talk to ask questions and find out what's right for you. Blanchard has set up a special toll-free line to give you a free one-on-one consultation and information with a gold expert. Just call 800-309-5530. That's 800-309-5530. For free gold information, call now. 800-309-5530. 800-309-5530.
Your Major League Baseball news when you want it 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard-to-find parts. Visit us today at SupplyLineElectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm Slots Pay Lots.
Palm Slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfi and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. Switch to college basketball now. What a game yesterday. NC State, kind of a bubble team, goes to Duke to play, of course, number five Duke, and just dominate play. Mark Gottfried, who used to be the coach at Alabama, is now their coach. He's a pretty good coach. NC State goes up 46-30 at the half, actually extend the lead. They're up by 20 with 11.5 minutes to go at Duke. But then Duke, what can you say? Duke comes storming back, led by Seth Curry's 26 points. They come all the way back and beat NC State, Duke 78. NC State 73. I did see the end of this game. NC State at the end, they must have thrown the ball. They must have shot the ball great in the beginning, but in the end, they couldn't throw the ball in the ocean. A very disappointing loss for NC State because they need a few wins. I think they're playing North Carolina this weekend as well. They need a few wins to become a tournament team. They're not ranked. They are 18-8. But that was a terrible loss yesterday, up 16 at the half, increase it to 20. Curry with 26. Austin Rivers, Doc Rivers' kid, had 16 points. They're just too tough, Duke, because NC State had the game in hand. They were up 20 in the second half. They needed a win desperately. Alex Johnson comes off the bench for NC State, scores a season high for him, 13 points. Brown has 19. Leslie has 12. But it just wasn't enough as NC State collapses late, gets outscored 48-27 in the second half, and number five Duke beats North Carolina State at Duke. Duke 78, North Carolina State 73. Another top 20 game, number 15 Wisconsin goes to play number seven Michigan State, but Michigan State is on a real roll now. Tom Izzo really has them playing well after, they had a couple of tough losses early in the season, but now 21-5. they're a very good team. And as always, he has them primed to make some noise in the tournament. Michigan State 69, Wisconsin 55. I don't think Wisconsin's on Michigan State's level, although they are 19-7. Michigan State 21-5. Draymond Green, a very, very good player, 20 points, 10 rebounds. Keith Appling, also an excellent player, 20 points, 4 assists. They lead Michigan State 69-59 over Wisconsin. Tyshawn Taylor for Wisconsin has 13, Evans with 17, Bergeron off the bench with 10. Again, Wisconsin known for their defense. For Michigan State to score 69 on them, that's pretty good. So number 7 Michigan State gets a home win over number 15 Wisconsin. Michigan State 69, Wisconsin 55. Couple of other games. Vatek goes down to FSU. FSU has that Leonard Hamilton, who used to coach Miami. He's a very good coach. I guess his roots must be in Florida because he's always around in Florida. He's a good recruiter. Vatek has a good coach as well, Seth Greenberg. And they go on, Vatek goes on a 17-0 run to start the second half. FSU down 9. With 1.5 minutes left in the game, but they hit a couple of threes. They get back in the game, and then a very interesting play happens. Jarrell Eddy of Vatek goes to the basket, gets fouled, gets hurt, taken out, so Leonard Hamilton gets to pick who takes the foul shots. The coach of FSU gets to pick the Vatek player who shoots the foul shots. Now, I think it's now, once upon a time was you could pick anyone on the bench. Now I think you have to pick it out of the other four players who are in the game. So Hamilton picks Robert Brown of Vatek to take the two foul shots. He misses both free throws. And Michael Snare of FSU hits a three very late to give FSU a one-point lead. Florida State 48, Vatek 47. Virginia Tech goes 1-for-6 and free throws down the stretch, and obviously that's what really hurt them. One other game, Gonzaga, who always wins their conference, they go to Santa Clara yesterday. Gonzaga ranked 24th in the country. Gonzaga beat Santa Clara. Gonzaga 73, Santa Clara 62. That's your top 25 action in college basketball. Of course, Kentucky number 1 in college basketball, Syracuse number 2. Kentucky gets virtually all the number 1 votes. Syracuse gets a few. A lot of people are already picking that as the national championship game. I don't think it's a real deep field this year. North Carolina and Duke are good, but not great. A lot of people already picking, if you're picking brackets, a lot of people would already pick Kentucky, Syracuse, if they're on opposite sides of the bracket, obviously, would pick them as the national championship game. Kentucky is always tremendous talent. They always seem to find a way to not win the national championship. Calipari hasn't won one. This could be his year. I didn't even think Syracuse is that good myself, although they are number 2 in the country. And they do play that nasty 2-3 zone. And they've had Scoop Jardine, who seems like he's been there for 6 years, and Chris Joseph, who seems like he's been there forever. These guys are veteran players and very good players. They got the big guy, Thad Mello, now, so maybe they can make a run at Kentucky. But a lot of people view it to be pretty much a two-team college basketball season. It doesn't always seem to work out that way, and I don't know that it will this year. Kentucky, I don't think there's any doubt that they're the most talented team in the country. But again, it looks like they're in the hunt every year, and somehow they just come up short every year. Although John Calipari keeps turning out NBA players, it seems that 2 or 3 of them get drafted every year in the first round for Kentucky. So we'll wait to see what happens. But they're viewed to be, I think Kentucky and Syracuse are viewed to be head and shoulders over the next few teams, like Missouri number 3 or Duke or Carolina. It's not a deep college basketball powerhouse season, I think, this year. I think those are the best two teams, Kentucky and Syracuse. This might be the year Kentucky gets, Calipari gets his national championship, because, frankly, I don't think there's a whole lot of competition. Of course, we're still a few weeks away from March Madness, which is always an exciting time. But right now, again, if you had to pick a bracket today and they were on opposite sides, I would pick the championship game today to be Kentucky-Syracuse, and I would give Kentucky the edge, frankly. But, of course, it's still early. Of course, they have a whole tournament to go through. We'll have to wait and see what happens on that front. But Duke with a big win yesterday. Florida State with a big comeback win yesterday. Michigan State with a good win over Wisconsin. And Gonzaga stays in the top 25 by beating Santa Clara on the road. Always a difficult thing to do. Want to switch to the NHL now. A lot of games in the NHL. A very interesting one, and you certainly didn't think it would go this way. The Blackhawks, you know, I'll say about two and a half weeks ago, the Blackhawks and the Rangers had the most points in hockey. They both had 62 points. Flash forward to last night, before the game, the Rangers had 79 points, and the Blackhawks had 65 points. They had had 3 points in like their last 11 or 12 games. They were on a 9-game losing streak, the Chicago Blackhawks. But yesterday, go figure, this is how it is in hockey. The King gets a rest, Marty Biron in the net for the Rangers. In the first minute of the game, there's a scramble in front of the Ranger goal. Dan Girardi, who's having a heck of a year as a defenseman for the Rangers, puts his glove, or is at least called for putting his glove, his hand, over the puck in the goalie crease. That's an automatic penalty shot. Jonathan Toews, having another excellent year, takes the penalty shot, and 1:05 into the game, Toews scores his 28th of the year to give the Blackhawks a 1-0 lead. Just another minute and 2 seconds later, Nick Leddy gets his third from Marian Hossa. 4 minutes into the game, Patrick Sharp scores his 23rd from his buddy Jonathan Toews. And then 9:38 into the game, Marian Hossa scores his 22nd of the year from Patrick Kane and Brent Seabrook. Seabrook's second assist of the game. And poof, after 9.5 minutes, the Rangers are down 4-0. So even though you thought Blackhawks on a 9-game losing streak, Rangers one of the hottest teams in hockey, leading the Eastern Conference in points, playing at Madison Square Garden. Of course, it is a little weakness. Biron's played great for the Rangers this year, but obviously he's not the King. So the Blackhawks get up 4-0. In the second period, Mark Stahl, a huge addition for the Rangers, scores his first goal of the year. And in the third period, Carl Hagelin scores his 9th. But it's not enough, obviously. The Blackhawks come in and upset the Rangers. Blackhawks 4, Rangers 2. Obviously a big win for the Chicago Blackhawks. They needed any win after 9 straight losses. But they get a win yesterday. Now the Rangers set an interesting National Hockey League record yesterday. The previous record had been no team in the history of NHL. The record for a team in the NHL giving up 4 or less goals in consecutive games was 55, set by the Toronto Maple Leafs back in 1951. The Rangers had tied that record before yesterday's game, and even though they gave up 4 goals in 10 minutes, they didn't give up a 5th. Yes, they lost the game, and that's the most important thing, but the Rangers are now, the 2011-2012 New York Rangers are in sole possession of the record for consecutive 4 goals or less games. Now, again, I'm not exactly sure what that record means. I guess it does mean you never gave up 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 goals. And there's some, I think, amount of consistency there to do that. But obviously yesterday they gave up 4 goals in 9 minutes and got beat by the Blackhawks, who had lost 9 straight. But it is, and that record continues, frankly. I mean, it is an interesting record to have. I don't know how important it is, but it does show some consistency. I'd love to see the record for 1 goal or less or 2 goals or less, because that means you're playing lights out for an extended period of time. But the Blackhawks beat the Rangers yesterday 4-2, a win the Blackhawks desperately needed. A few other games yesterday. San Jose goes down to Tampa Bay. And another hockey shootout, Tampa Bay. I don't mean they had a shootout. I'm sorry. It did go into overtime, but Tampa Bay wins 6-5 in a high-scoring game. Can't say shootout anymore, obviously. Tampa Bay 6, San Jose Sharks 5. Early on now, Steven Stamkos, who is, you know, it doesn't look like Tampa Bay is going to make the playoffs, but Stamkos is having an unbelievable year. He scores his 38th and 39th goals of the year in the win. Martin St. Louis scores his 17th. That proved to be the game winner for Tampa Bay. Teddy Purcell scored his 14th. Steve Downey scored his 12th. Tampa Bay 6, San Jose 5. For San Jose, Logan Couture scored his 24th of the year. And Michael Hanzu scored his seventh. Tampa Bay beats the San Jose Sharks in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay 6, San Jose 5. Another interesting game down in Philadelphia. Buffalo travels down to Philadelphia. And Philadelphia smacks Buffalo. Philadelphia 7, Buffalo 2. Amazingly, Buffalo jumps out to a 2-0 lead in the first period. Jason Pominville scores his 22nd. Thomas Vanek scores his 21st. But then after that, it was all Philadelphia. Wayne Simmons scores his 19th and 20th goals in the second period for Philadelphia. Now, it's interesting because Wayne Simmons was hit in the face with a puck during warm-ups and needed 25 stitches, was literally unable to talk during and after the game, but he did play and scored 2 goals in close, both right in front of the net. Max Talbot scored 2 goals, his 15th and 16th. Scotty Hartnell ended the scoring with his 27th of the year in the third period. Philadelphia 7, Buffalo 2. Claude Giroux of the Flyers with 5 assists, obviously on 5 of the 7 Philadelphia goals. Brizgalov back in net for the Flyers. They're going back and forth as Brizgalov, the guy I picked the Flyers to win it all. I hope the Rangers do because I'm a Rangers guy, but certainly I'm not going to back off of my pick, although the Rangers are playing better. Philadelphia 7, Buffalo 2, obviously a good win for the Flyers. Couple of other games to look at in the NHL last night. Winnipeg goes to Minnesota to play the Wild. Winnipeg 4, Minnesota 3 in a shootout. Devin Setoguchi scores 2 goals during the game, his 13th and 14th of the year. Evander Kane, he scores 2 goals, his 20th and 21st of the year in the shootout. Erik Christensen scores for Minnesota, but Blake Wheeler and then Evander Kane, who did have 2 goals during the regular game, scores the game winner during the shootout to give Winnipeg the win. Winnipeg 4, Minnesota 3 in Minnesota. Mikko Koivu also scored his 10th of the year in that game. A couple of other games. Calgary goes all the way down to Dallas to play the Dallas Stars. Dallas 3, Calgary 2 in overtime. Adam Burrish and Steve Ott score for Dallas during regulation. Jerome McGinley scores his 23rd for Calgary, and Michael Camilleri his 13th with about 5 minutes left in the regulation to tie it up. And in the overtime, Mike Ribeiro scores an unassisted goal at 2:01 of overtime to give Dallas the win. Dallas 3, Calgary 2. Two other games quickly to take a look at. Phoenix shuts out Los Angeles 1-0. The only goal, Radim Verbata scores his 27th from Ray Whitney and Keith Yandel. A shutout for Smith of Phoenix. Phoenix 1, LA Kings 0. And St. Louis in St. Louis smacks the Islanders 5-1. Franz Nielsen scores his 11th for the Islanders. Actually, they had a 1-0 lead 1 minute into the game. Then, of course, it was all St. Louis. Jason Arnott scores his 13th. TJ Oshie scores his 15th. David Perron scores his 11th. St. Louis 5. New York Islanders 1. Your TV tonight, basketball, if you get MSG Network, I think you still want to watch the Jeremy Lin Show. Hornets at the Knicks, 8 p.m. Eastern tonight on MSG. There is an ESPN doubleheader. Mavericks at the 76ers. Of course, then the Mavericks are coming to play the Knicks on Sunday. They're down in Philly tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. And then right after that, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, Phoenix out at the Staples Center to play the Lakers. Lakers very good at home, not very good at on the road. Suns at Lakers, 10:30 Eastern. That's on ESPN. One hockey game if you get MSG+. The Anaheim Ducks come into New Jersey to play the New Jersey Devils. That's 7 Eastern on MSG+. College basketball, a few games. ESPN2, 7 Eastern, Northern Iowa at VCU. 7 o'clock ESPNU, Columbia at Princeton. Of course, Princeton just beat 24th-ranked Harvard. They're a good team, Princeton. And 9 o'clock ESPNU, 9 o'clock Eastern, Valparaiso at Loyola Marymount. That's your college basketball for tonight. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.